Welcome to another edition of the Inside Athletics Podcast. I'm Sports Information Director James DeBoer with you today. Dave King out once again. So I'm running the ship, and coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll bring in women's basketball coach Kevin Griffin and talk about their season and how it started out. But let's jump into somewhat of a recap of what we've seen over the last couple of days, last weekend leading up to now. And one exciting thing is the start of the track and field season, which, yeah, is a little crazy, but it is the indoor season. And one of the fun things that we saw last weekend, it wasn't the full teams, but a good chunk of the athletes were running at the Liberty kickoff down in Lynchburg. And over on the men's side, very exciting for one to see Michael Allen back out there. As Coach Lukowicz has said, you know, it's going to take a little bit for him to get back into the shape that we remember from a couple years ago when he was going to the national championships. But very nice to have Michael Allen back for his senior year after missing last season on a cross-cultural. But another guy to watch on the men's side, besides some of the familiar names, is a freshman, Richard Robinson. He's a local product, and he is really good at the hurdles especially, but also good at sprints. And so he had a great debut on the men's side last week, and just another name to keep an eye on this year. Over on the women's side, and this could be a trend for both men and women in track, is seeing names put up in the top 10 record books, including some records falling. And we had that already with a freshman breaking an EMU school record last week in her first track and field meet, and that's Hannah Chapel Dick. Now, you probably recognize her name from the cross-country season, but she came out in her first track and field meet. She broke EMU's school record in the 1 mile on the indoor. And so very impressive start for Hannah. So a lot of these young runners from the cross-country season coming into the track and field season. And then we've got the great upper-class leadership from athletes like Sophia Holmes and Allie Eanes, and it's really great to see them coming together, and it should just be a lot of fun. They are off, meet-wise at least, until January, so you got a little break before we'll hear about them again. But great start to the year for track and field. Basketball, of course, the other big thing is going on right now. Men's basketball, they've had a great start to the year. After going 12-15 last year, they are 6-1 now to start out this season. And even their one loss came at a three-pointer at the buzzer from about 30, 35 feet out. So a great start for the men. They picked up their first ODAC win over Roanoke on Saturday, and then did a non-conference win on the road, which is always impressive and good for regional rankings come the end of the year, winning at Goucher 66-63. Good job by the men to come out that way. And we'll talk about this coming weekend in a bit when they host Randolph-Macon. That should be a ton of fun, but it's just going to be a great Saturday altogether this weekend at EMU with the women hosting Roanoke and then the men playing Randolph-Macon later in the evening. But speaking of the women, they had a very impressive win Tuesday night here in Harrisonburg, taking on a ranked team, Mary Washington, and a team stylistically very different from what the Royal women want to play. And we can talk about whose style they ended up with when we get Kevin on here in just a minute or two. But they came out with a 56-54 victory over the Eagles with a last-second putback on an offensive rebound from Bianca Igarza. And just a great game for the women to really push through styles of play, you know, going back and forth. And just a very, very solid win for the women. The women are now 3-3 overall. But as we'll talk about with Kevin in just a second again, just a very tough schedule to start out the year. So 3-3, not too bad for the women. Again, their next home game is Saturday afternoon, and they play host to Roanoke College, a traditional power in the ODAC, and should be a fun Saturday. And then both our teams actually have a whole week off for exams before they have road events next week, Saturday. But let's just get right into it. Coach Kevin Griffin from the women's basketball team joins us. And Kevin, just thanks for joining us and being willing to open up about your season here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Last year, you guys had such a great season. And I mean, I know you surprised me. I thought we'd be pretty good last year. But I kind of feel like you were a bit surprised last year as well with just how well we finished. What were your thoughts last year with such a young team doing so well?
Yeah, I was surprised, and I just tried not to get too caught up in the moment and just focus on every single opponent that was next. In all honesty, probably didn't enjoy it like I should have because, you know, it was just you would get done a game, and then me personally, that's part of my personality, is I would get so locked into, okay, preparation for the next game. And so I didn't really have a chance to really even reflect on what happened until it was all said and done a month later, and lots of people are talking about it and just not even really being able to grasp that, you know, there were things that fell our way and there were some shots at end of games that went our way and they in some cases couldn't have, but they did. And it was just sort of, you know, it was just a terrific year. I do think we worked really hard and I think we earned it. But in some cases, you know, yeah, we got to recognize that sometimes the ball just bounces your way. And that happened a couple times.
Mm-hmm. So you finished with what was tied for the second best season in program history. And that's great. But as you as a coach are always focusing on your next game, now you've got to focus on the next season. So on one hand, yeah, you had a great year last year, which can help you springboard into this year. But on the other hand, it's also an entirely new season. How did you, as you came into this year, as your players came into this year, and to some extent, your new players who came in looking at last year, just how did all that build into expectations for this year, and what did you do with that?
I think the expectations are huge. I think that they recognized that they had earned the right to be thought of highly, and so coming in here, that affected scheduling. It affected hopefully their preparation in terms of, you know, being more prepared for what was ahead, that the schedule would be tougher, that the expectations would be higher. The new kids, some of their excitement was, hey, we're joining a winning team, a winning program. And so that's great, but they still really have no point of reference. They don't know what college basketball is like. They don't know the speed, the intensity, the grind. They can be told about it, but all they've ever known is high school or middle school and living at home. And it's just so many variables that you just can't prepare for.
Well, you come into the season and you talk about it's going to be tougher, and you had, I don't know how to describe it other than brutal, to the, your first six games especially of the season. Six opponents, five of them went to the NCAA tournament last year, and the only one who didn't just happened to be tied with you guys for the regular season crown in the ODAC. So that's, you know, a pretty good mark for someone who, quote, didn't go to the NCAA tournament last year. So very tough start. And you guys come out 3-3. So from the outside, you may say, oh, they're only a 500 team. But in reality, you guys had incredibly tough competition. You went 3-2 against teams that went to the tournament last year. You played two ranked teams, currently ranked teams. You went 1-1 against them. I mean, really, that, I feel that's a very respectable start for you guys. How do you look at it and how the players looking at it?
Yeah, I think I'm most excited, not because we're 500, because I think we could be better than that. I'm most excited because I don't think we've come close to playing our best basketball. I think defensively at times we've been very good. I think offensively we have yet to even come close to hitting our stride. And, you know, some of that is due to the opponent that we're playing. But I think that we just have so much room to grow. And so that's an exciting thing. Now, I'm anxious to see when does that growth take place. And so it makes me a little nervous and thinking at some point this has got to click and we've got to dig in and we've got to be better offensively. And but I have been pleased with a lot of what I've seen. I've been pleased in that coming off of two losses, we've responded. We responded to the Ferrum loss and beat Guilford at Guilford. We responded to the Virginia Wesleyan loss, which was a really tough one because they really got into us, and then turn around and beat Mary Wash. So I'm excited about the resiliency of our kids. I'm excited about the fact that we still have so much room to grow, and here we sit at 3-3. And yeah, if you look at the combined records of the six teams that we've played, I mean, one won 30 games, and the other five won a minimum of 22. So, yeah, we hopefully this is going to make us better in the very near future.
Well, one thing, you mentioned some of the resiliency, even of, you know, your three losses. The one was to Messiah, and you were basically in that game the whole way. Now, the other two, you can look at it one of two ways. Both those games, the losses to Ferrum and Wesleyan, you guys started out with a terrible first half, basically, trailed by, I think, 20 points probably in each of those.
We did, in both of those games.
In both of those. And yet, with the resilience of your players, neither time did they get over the hill, but you saw them come back with great second halves and shave it down to just a couple of points in both of those games, even though they came out in the short end. So, yeah, I think you do get that experience of pushing back and being able to come out of or fight back at least from tough holes. And I think that's something you got to be happy with your players.
Yeah, I think that for Kaylee Yoders and Bianca Garza and Steph Reinheimer and Alyssa Brown, and I'm going to miss somebody's name here, but
Kayla,
you know, Baltimore. Kayla Baltimore, I think those kids, yeah, we were down 20 and yeah, they were upset and yeah, there's a chance to say, all right, forget this. Let's throw in the towel. We'll try next game. But I didn't see that in any of them. And so, yeah, we're down 20 in the beginning of the second half to both of those teams. And Wesleyan, we cut it to 4 with 2:36 to go. And Ferrum, I think we cut it to 3. So yeah, we're right there. So if you know, our message after those games was, we can play. We just can't dig ourselves this massive hole.
Well, one thing that you've wanted to do, and I feel like every year you get a little bit more of it, is just picking up the tempo in your games. You've touched on it that we haven't really seen the offense come close to what you want it to do, and that's a lot more tempo. Just tell me a bit about this year's team, how you're trying to push the tempo up, and how your depth this year, which looks like it's a bit deeper of a team, although some of them are newcomers, of course. Just talk about your depth and your tempo as you're approaching this season yet.
I mean, every year we're trying to play faster and faster, and that has happened in spurts. And so a lot of what we're trying to do is a result of our offense coming from our defense. And it seems like when we defend really well, although, you know, against Mary Wash, we did defend pretty well. We forced 27 turnovers. You know, I don't know how many layups we shot against them. Probably not enough. Now, they're not a team that lets you shoot a lot of layups, which is why they're so good every year defensively and just taking you out of what you're trying to do. I know against Messiah doesn't let you score on your first option. They're going to make you work and get to your second and third option. And so for our kids, they haven't necessarily been always pushed to that point to, okay, we got to finish and look for our second option, third option, maybe even fourth option. For us, how we score on offense will be on how good we are defensively.
So definitely, you mentioned some of that. Tell me a bit too about, you want to push the tempo up, you have a deeper team. Now, one problem that always causes is you have a bunch of talented players on the team and they all want to play. You might want to tell me this could be the million-dollar answer, but how do you work all these different personalities, all these different personal expectations for getting on the floor? How do you balance some of that out with playing time?
I don't know. I have yet to figure it out because I always walk away at the end of games thinking there's other kids that we should have got minutes for. I talk to our assistant coaches about it all the time. I try to talk to those kids that aren't getting the minutes that maybe they were hoping for. And I just really try to sell that we're trying to make the best decisions as a basketball staff for our team. And you got to, I mean, it's the same message that every coach is preaching, that the team has to come first. And there's going to be nights when certain kids play 6 minutes and some kids are going to play 16 minutes. And you hopefully win some of those games so some of those kids stick around and still buy in. But it's a difficult one. You know, if you've been a high school person who scored in double figures and played for every game since you were a freshman and you come to Eastern Mennonite or whatever school, you want to play. That's the whole reason for you coming, in addition to you getting an education. And so how long will you sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait? And yet I've tried to also repeat to them multiple stories of kids who have come and have waited and have been success stories. Bianca Igarza being one of them. You know, her freshman year, the whole first semester, she wasn't doing much of anything in practice or in a game. And she just kept working and kept fighting and kept battling. And the next thing you know, I mean, here she is, an all-league player. Todd Phillips. You know, I've talked to our kids a lot about some of the guys, players who, as freshmen, they were great high school players, but they came here and sometimes it just doesn't click. And so you try to talk to them about some of the success stories of the past.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, looking ahead to the ODAC a little bit, I know that two of our first six games were against ODAC teams, but I know when you put the schedule together, it was to get the women prepared for the ODAC season, to get them prepared for the season that counts, if you want to look at it that way. So we're approaching the ODAC now. I said last week something along the lines of how I kind of think that seeding for the ODAC tournament a little more important for the women than it might be for the men, just because of the parity we see on the men's side. I'm almost reevaluating that this week, because when you look at the women's standings now, a lot of the traditional teams that we're used to, the Bridgewaters, the Randolph-Macons, the Roanokes, they're struggling a bit this year, and we have some surprise teams. Randolph with an upset win this week. Emreen Henry is looking really good this year. Just tell me a bit about how this start to the season is preparing you guys for the ODAC and what you're expecting out of the ODAC season.
Yeah, I think that the competition that we've played should definitely prepare us in terms of when we walk into our league, we know there's a bunch of really good teams, but we're hoping that what we've seen already, you know, once we get to that league, we'll be prepared. The situation, the game, the moment, we will not be overwhelmed. We will have known that we're prepared. You know, John Wooden's thing is always confidence comes in preparation, that we can walk in not with arrogance, but with confidence in knowing that we've done our part, we've tried to get ready. In terms of the ODAC traditional powers, you know, last year we were picked fifth and Wesleyan was picked seventh and we both ended up tied for first. So I don't put a lot of stock into, you know, who was picked where to start the season. I also don't put a ton of stock into who's sitting where December 1st. I think when it's all said and done, you're going to see a much better Bridgewater team. You're going to see a much better Randolph-Macon team. I think when it's all said and done, those teams that are used to winning, they're going to battle, they're going to scrap, and it's going to be a fight right to the finish.
So it should be a fun season. You're going to have a fun Saturday because we get Roanoke, who's one of these teams that we talked about, has struggled to start the year. But yeah, Roanoke has always been there for years, decades. You know, Roanoke has been one of the top teams in women's basketball. You guys get them this Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. You play Roanoke at 2, then the men play Randolph-Macon at 7, which is another one of these always classic battles in basketball. You know, without going too in-depth or giving away your game plans, and what are you looking for out of Roanoke this weekend?
Oh, I think it's going to be a war. I mean, they just came up here last weekend and beat Bridgewater at Bridgewater. But Roanoke, you know, their schedule is pretty deceiving. They've played Christopher Newport. They've played Ferrum. Roanoke has played a really tough schedule. They typically do. They don't duck anybody. And they sort of had the big picture in mind, too, that, hey, it isn't necessarily what happens at the end of November and beginning of December. It's what happens when we land in the end of February. And they've been very good about that.
So it should be a lot of fun this Saturday. Again, the women play at 2, the men play at 7. So make sure you guys come out to Yoder Arena this weekend. It's just going to be a great weekend for basketball, and it's your last chance to catch an EMU basketball game at home for at least a week or two, as our players get breaks from games, at least, because of exams coming up this next week. But, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us here on Inside Athletics, and good luck as the season goes along.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks for listening, everyone. Again, Dave King off this week. So James DeBoer running the show for today. And Dave should be back coming up next week. Of course, we'll have to figure out what the holiday season of Inside Athletics will look like. But we'll dig into that next week. So thanks so much for joining us. And I invite you all to make it a great week.